Good morning, everyone. This is General Galen Shaw. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And Margaret?
Yes, what you're about to hear is a program in which Phil does all of the voices and all of the characterizations.
All the voices, all the characterizations.
Yeah, and it's all done in real time as it is happening to the...
So welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. My name is Robert Leonard.
Yes, I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm General Galen Shaw.
And I'm Bud Dicklin. Here's Philip Hendry.
Oh, Bud, thank you, man. I haven't been called Philip since the last time I heard me dear mother.
Does your mother call you? Well, your mother is no longer with us, right?
My mother's no longer here with us, no. Even when she was here with us.
Well, don't get smart-ass about your mother, for Christ's sake.
No, I'm just saying, even when she was here with us, she might not always be here with us.
Yes, that's what I anticipated you saying.
That's what you anticipated him saying.
Yes, I anticipated you... I don't even know what I'm...
Yeah, but your mother wasn't all here, huh?
I'm joking around. Yes, she was all here. Anyway, yeah, my mom called me Philip. So, welcome to our program. This is going to be epic, man. On our program today, because we have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's going to be discussing with us last night's debate. Let's go around the horn on this one, if you'll pardon the expression.
I don't like the tone. When you say go around the horn, I understand, Phil, and I appreciate that. Bud is already smiling, and would you tell him...
Bud, quit smiling.
Bud's making a big deal about going around the horn.
Don't say I make a big deal about going around the horn as if it is a personal, as if it is my own personal journey
around a horn.
Yes, around a horn. All right, I'll say it.
No, I said it.
All right, well, we're going to get burning daylight, man.
Yeah,
we are burning daylight. So
every time I say that, everybody wants to jump on me.
I'm going to tell you what I will do is I will belt you and so hard that no one will be able to jump on you because they won't be able to find you. How about that?
Hey.
You're applauding your own ass-kicking.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry, bud, I didn't mean to jump on you like that. They had a debate last night. It was the Republicans, and they were talking all kinds of whatever they talk about. The Republican debate, by the way, is more interesting only because there's more people. You know, it has nothing to do with, you know, whether you're in favor of this or not in favor of that. There's just more people involved, and it's a goofier thing. There's all kinds of goofy guys, and...
What do you mean, goofy guy? You know, you get a load of that... I don't think... Is there anything goofier than that guy Sanders? You know...
Now, hold on. I think Bernie Sanders, as you could well anticipate, yes, I do agree with some of the things that Bernie Sanders represents.
Really? What does he represent?
He represents...
Well... Yeah, let's not have the debate right now.
He represents, I think, decency and clarity. He represents bringing to America...
Yeah, a new view of socialism. God almighty, when will people listen? We're going to become socialists, communists, right down to our underwear. And as Richard Nixon so famously said about Helen Gehagen Douglas, he said that she is pink.
Don't you make fun of Helen Gehagen Douglas. She was married to one of our great stars in Hollywood. Melvin Douglas.
Yes, I know.
All right. And she was a great patriot.
She was pink right down to her underwear, as Nixon had said in that movie.
No, how do you know? He actually said that. All right. Hold on. You want to start fighting the 1950 congressional campaign or whatever the hell it was?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I don't know. Wasn't that Nixon? Forget about Nixon. So welcome to the present time, folks. This is the year of... Our Lord 2015. Bob Bakian out there doing the traffic with us this morning. Might as well get to that, because if we don't, we'll never get to it. Here's Bob Heap. What's it look like, Bob, on the commute this morning?
Hey, Phil, we're going through. Throw that in the door jam's got going down the 510 freeway. Make sure you got your hat on, because if you don't have your hat on, you're going to be losing your shirt from that. There's a tractor trailer down there, right? There's a guy climbing out top thing, waving a big Confederate flag and saying all kinds of crazy things. Don't laugh at something. I got to fight about that. Go on down there, right? The San Pedro family and the corridor there of the carp. And there's a carp. Have you ever had carp? It's like mandarin fish. Tastes fantastic. Look over to Skyboy on the west side. Skyboy?
Oh, okay. Hey, down Simon. It looks pretty good out here, doesn't it? And it's a slob that turns around, you big fat slob. Now it's going to be over the Skyboy.
Well, the case rolling me late, then. Bob Bacon, 9 pounds of swinging maple driveway.
Simple shit. I could sell water to a speedboat. And these eyes is iconic.
Right there, there's there, right there. I could sell water to a speedboat. What is that?
I don't know, but it's my kind of thing, folks. Welcome to our show here on this Wednesday. A couple of things to remind you of. One of them is the fact that we have all this month we have a major BSP giveaway, which we'll be telling you about. And if you here's Ted anyway. Yeah.
Yes, it is Ted.
Sorry, I didn't. Come on down. All right, Ted, how you doing?
Hey, Bill, doing real great last night. Well, I tell you, we saw some kind of a debate last night between Ted Bell. I mean, I confused myself with Donald Trump. Donald Trump. God damn it.
What does that mean?
Hold on, Margaret, will you? We saw a great debate last night. We saw a debate last night between... That's great. I got...
What's going on, Ted?
We saw a great debate last night between Donald Bell and Ted Trump. I'm very confused. I got the ladies are in for their morning breakfast here. Give me the notes. We saw a great debate last night between Donald Trump and the rest of the Republican field.
Let me interrupt you right there, Ted. Between Donald Trump and the rest of the Republican field, Donald Trump was not even all that well featured in this thing, was he?
I think that Trump made his feelings known. I think that Trump made his emotions known. I think it's always about Trump. It's never about, it's not about Trump. And I think that I like him. There's no question that I like him. I think he is an astoundingly professional and amazing guy. I'm going to bring in right now Rudy Canoza, who, as you know, is my bartender, to debate this issue.
Excuse me, but good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Rudy.
I'm by owner of the primary.
I'm sorry, you bought the primary rib. I'm sorry.
This is right here. Let me underline. This is the problem right here.
I'm sorry.
No, this is the problem right here, Phil. Look at me, because I'm Hispanic, I cannot possibly own anything. I must be the bartender. I must be the bag boy. I must be the boob boy. I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted because of the blonde on CNN. She almost has buck teeth.
Are you going to talk about the blonde on CNN? Are you going to address these points?
Well, wait. I didn't know we were going to have a debate. Is that what's going to happen?
No. What I thought I would do, though, is bring on Rudy, and the two of us could, do a kibble.
What do you are? You're talking about kibitzing, right?
I'm sorry?
You mean kibitz?
Yeah, right. We could kibitz back and forth.
I don't see this as kibitz. I see this as a... What do you mean, kibitz? I don't...
Kibitz is to...
Look, you guys couldn't talk about the debate. Talk about the debate. I didn't know you were going to have a debate, but it's not a bad thing. But I just would, realize we need to take a little bit more time for that, and we have a couple of other guests we ought to bring on.
No, I understand that, but here's what I want to say, and then I'll turn it over to Rudy.
I haven't even spit out.
All right, go ahead. Fuck it.
Well, he's pouting.
I'm not pouting. We have a restaurant full of women here from the, speak of the devil, the Women's Beverly Hills Republican Consortium. It's not the women's...
It's not the Republican Women of Beverly Hills. It's the Beverly Hills Women's Republican Consortium Roundtable, which they have here every day. Not every day. They have here at the Beverly Hills once a month. And I'm looking at some of the ladies here. How are you? Is this Miss... Mrs. Sandon Davis is with us.
Yes, Ms. Davis is wonderful.
Ms. Davis, how are you?
Hello, hello.
Don't do that.
Grab the phone for me. So there's a lot of them here, Phil, and that's why there's confusion.
All right, so what I need for you guys to do is be less contentious. Margaret, go ahead.
Yes, could we hear? I want to hear what Rudy has to say, and I want to hear what you have to say, Ted. I'm very interested in your take on how Carly Fiorina did, though, Ted.
I'd be happy to give it to you,
but I'm going first, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Well, you're real ready, aren't you?
I was ready until Blabbermouth. And Blabbermouth? I simply want to say this. What Ted did there at the beginning, and I know that Ted made a mistake, but then every mistake Ted makes is a window into his soul. You know?
What does that mean?
Here's what it means. It means when you say, here is my bartender, Rudy, that is a window into your soul. I look within your soul. I look within your eyes. I look within the heart of the man, the heart of the darkness.
But can I, what language are you speaking English? Okay.
You don't understand what I'm saying?
I do understand what you go. And look, you know.
You know, I it's everything I can do to keep from kicking his ass.
Oh, man.
All right, guys, this is not going to go anywhere.
Just stick to the point on that thing.
Hey, I'm going to just get ignore.
And Ted, you know, back it off about a notch, all right?
All right, fine. You guys should have gone. I look.
When I look at you, Ted, I look at a man who wants to do business with anyone who wants to do business. To me, that is the American way, and I think that is a good thing. But the drawback for me is that you would look upon a Rudy, you would look upon me as if I'm nothing, as if I'm something that just crawled up from the cement to go up your leg until you go, ah, God, it's something, it's loose in the theater. Do you remember this film? And I'll never forget it for as long as I live. I will never forget as long as I live the Tingler. You know that?
Yeah, I know the Tingler. I knew Vincent Price, as a matter of fact.
You knew Vincent Price?
Yes, I did. Very well. He came into the restaurant. He was a wonderful man. Wonderful man. He knew my father as well.
Well, all right. But I'm not talking about Vincent Price. I'm talking about a character he played, so this will work. Do you remember the Tingler?
Yes, yes. What about it?
Well, that's what you are. You look at me as if I'm that. You are Vincent Price, and I'm the Tingler, crawling around. And I would say the immigrants of America are not a bunch of Tingler crawling around on the floor.
Don't talk about a Tingler.
The Tingler was a movie. It doesn't make any difference. It's a stupid, asinine... I want to say something here.
Wait, General. Wait. I don't see you on the dance card here. It's me and Canoza.
All right, we got about one more minute.
All right, may I say something?
I'm not done yet.
Well, you blew it all with that Tingler rap, okay? Yeah, look, the Tingler. Well, I don't know whether you're being Vincent Price, whether you're being Vincent Lugosi, whether you're being Bella Price, whether you're being Bella Abzug, whether you're being Bella Lugosi. Ah, that was it. You were trying to be Bella Lugosi, weren't you?
Matter of fact, yes, I was.
All right, my point is this. And
yeah, now we got 30 seconds.
Well, fuck it. That won't give me enough time.
Go on, will you?
Well, my point is this. I think Donald Trump has articulated what every American is saying, and I can't I endorse it enough. We are a country of laws. We do have laws. And God, how I wish I was running for president. I would be able to be strident and bellicose and almost and very southern, too, like that Rand Paul, that clown, you know, the Fourth Amendment. I want to tell you,
I want to say something to
the phone for me. That's my phone.
Oh, this is my cell phone. Okay.
All right, guys, thank you very much. So we're done with this round of debates on last night's debate. I appreciate it.
Wait, he took my phone, Phil, so now you're saying it.
Yeah, now I'm telling you that no, you may not do what you're doing. So thanks again, like I said. All right, let's just tell you this much, folks. We are reviewing the debate last night. Thank you very much, Ted, okay?
I get the lockout, okay?
We're...
I get the lockout!
I look at. Yeah, hello. My name is Ted Bell, and I'm a spring.
Say that about. I'm Ted Bell. Come on down and have a steak, have a pork pie. Well, you know what we have? We are giving away pork pie hats. I get it. We want to put our meat
in your mouth. You know, I'll tell you what, that guy must dump hundreds of thousands of dollars into your show because his big yap is just.
It really is a lot to take, Phil.
Well, I'm so sorry, but he is a sponsor, so he gets to request the kind of airtime, the quality of airtime, the sort of thing, what he and only he want to do. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here on a Wednesday morning, man, from the El Pacifico in Southern California, baby.
That's right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, El Pacifico, brought to you by...
Mac Miller, man, ain't he something there, huh?
What's this kid's name, Mac Miller?
Yeah. All right, it's time now for Chef Carl Cedilli. I got to tell you something. The chef has got some serious... Talk about life-changing. The chef has got himself some life-changing... He's got a life-changing recipe here, doesn't he?
Oh, I'm going to love it. Today's Chef Carl Cedilli, ladies and gentlemen, I will be hosting the segment, by the way.
Well, you get to do it.
Because I get to do it, that's why. Ask me again.
Why do you get to do it?
Because I get to do it. You want to ask me again?
All right, Margaret, okay.
I don't like the way it looks at me. Anyway, we will have Chef Carl Cedilli today, and he will be talking with us about turkey chili. I love the ground turkey chili, especially the way Chef Cedilli makes it. And now we return to Ted's of Beverly Hills into the main kitchen there, Chef Carl Cedilia. Chef Cedilia, good morning to you.
Good morning, welcome to Chef Carl Cedilia. This is the Chef Carl Cedilia recipe of the day. And we are going to make some turkey chili, and I want to make sure that everybody, no matter where you are, make sure you have your ingredients. I believe in very fresh ingredients. And when I say fresh ingredients, would you close that door, please? Thank you. When I say fresh ingredients, I am talking about having the most... Yeah. Well, if you're going to be coming in and out of here, you're coming in and out of here? When I say fresh ingredients...
Can I ask you, Chef, and I apologize, this is terrible. And it's not terrible, it's terrible for you. Perhaps in the future we can have this at your private kitchen...
My private kitchen? Where is that?
At your home.
At my home. Yeah, okay, Phil, we'll have it in my apartment.
I assumed you had a larger kitchen.
I have a large kitchen. It's the one I'm working with here, and we are building a home, my wife and I, but it's not ready yet. So, why don't you close the door? Thanks. I apologize, Phil. What's happened here is we are having the lunch, breakfast, not breakfast, I'm sorry, breakfast. I'm not going to say breakfast because I know you don't like that.
No, I don't like it.
But it is your subconscious.
It is, and I love how he blames everyone, don't you? I just love how he blames everyone.
Well, I'm not blaming anybody now.
Thank you very much. All right. Phil, I'm in a supply closet. That's why, and people keep coming in and out. Potatoes are over there. Close the fucking door. I'm sorry, Phil.
Watch the language.
God damn, you know, this thing is as out of control today as it was when it first went on the air.
General, I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm in a supply closet, Phil, and people keep coming in and out of here looking for...
Maybe they could just get everything they need and then...
Yeah, well, that's why I said... Hey, Tom, if you need... What do you want? Mashed potatoes are there in the can. What do you want? Rolls. They wanted rolls, mashed potatoes. What is it? This is a breakfast, Phil, and these women eat more buttered rolls. God damn, man.
Yeah, probably. Don't say it.
Don't say what? I didn't say anything.
I'm talking about Bud. Don't say it, Bud.
Bud, what are you doing? Wolfing down a roll.
Because a woman likes a nice buttered roll. Oh, forget it, you know?
Yeah, but you gotta watch.
Watch what?
Watch the buttered roll thing.
When I said a woman likes a nice buttered roll in the morning, I am saying that in terms of the food.
I don't think anybody assumed anything else. For God's sake,
I saw the leers on the faces.
Margaret, believe me, I know. I live with it. All right, so...
What do you mean you live with it?
I'm working at this joint. Every time Ted Bell turns around, I go, hey, Ted, I think these ladies need more butter for their rolls. And he says, you know, I'll bet they do, ha-ha, with a big wink. I can't get shit done.
Who's laughing?
What?
Who's laughing? Because I could hear...
I didn't laugh. I put the phone down and I was bending over to tie my shoes. All right, Phil, here we go. Turkey chili. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than a great bowl of chili. I'm sure a lot of you people will understand that. And one of the things that everybody thinks they know how to make is a bowl of chili. Well, here's the news. Here's the flash. No, you don't. I do. I'm Chef Carl Cedilia, and I know about making it. You don't put a rib in there. You don't do anything. And you can make chili with a ground turkey meat. Now, let's talk about chili. There was a time when chili was developed, Phil. It was developed in Texas, not in Mexico.
That was made in Mexico.
No, it was not made in Mexico, no. Chili was originally developed in the United States. It is a Tex-Mex, or if you will, a Southwestern dish. Yes, I will grant you that. I will grant you all of that. But it is not a Mexican dish. Now, when it was originally made, they made it with any kind of meat they could make because this was made by cowboys. It was made by men that worked out on the trails, out of the dusty ranch ranges of Texas and Arizona and New Mexico and so forth. And so they used any meat they could find. And oftentimes, we're not talking about anything too delectable here.
What are we talking about?
You're talking about that roadkill, huh?
Well, not roadkill. They didn't have highways, but they had trail kill, I guess.
Like armadillo meat?
Armadillo meat, porcupine, a prairie dog. Sometimes they'd kill a coyote and use that. Sometimes if they were lucky and they were able to sneak into the herd, because back in those days they had drovers. And drovers were guys...
Those are the guys that are pushing the cattle up on a Sedalia trail.
Will you let me do it?
Bud, let him do it, okay?
Damn. So up the Sedalia trail... Jerky. God damn it.
Can I just ask a question, please?
Yes.
problem.
Well, I'm sorry, Chef Chedelia, but are you telling me that the women there are eating beef jerky?
They're coming in here. They're asking for rolls, beef jerky. Bobby, what do you want now? What do you mean pork chops? This is breakfast. I've got, Phil, we've got 100 women here from the Beverly Hills Republican Consortium and Roundtable. It's a discussion group. They have it every morning. And thank Christ, Ted does not. Looks like Ted's looking for me.
Where the hell's Genoza?
I got to close the door. So, I don't know what's going on, Phil, but, what? Slim Jims? Yeah, right there. They're what? They're picking their teeth. All right, so, I don't know, it's,
So you got a restaurant full of women that are eating Slim Jims, beef jerky?
That's just what they're having for kicks, for appetizer, because they're starving out there, and we haven't got, have we got the breakfast made yet? What are you making, scrambled eggs and what? Scrambled eggs and toast, that's it?
Where's Genoza?
No, I'm right here, Ted. What the hell is going on? What are you doing?
Oh, all right.
I'm on the air right now. Okay. I just told Ted I'm on the air with you, Phil. Now, making turkey chili. Let's get back to this.
You know what? If it's too much work...
Wait. This is my segment, right?
It is his segment, Phil. What do you mean if it's too much work?
Yeah, Henry. The guy wants to work.
I do. I want to get the segment done.
All right.
Now, you take your turkey, you get the ground, what was I saying?
You were giving a history of it.
Yeah, you're talking about the history of the turkey, of the chili on the turkey trail.
Of the chili on the turkey trail.
You were talking about the history of chili in Southwest America.
Right. So, the cowboys in those days would use any kind of meat they could find. If they could kill a coyote, slaughter something, anything in the name of God, just some kind of meat. Now, many times these drovers, yes, bud, driving them up the Sedalia Trail... Jeez. You know, Phil?
Yeah, fine.
Well, where's he get off knowing all this stuff?
Probably because he watches all that Rawhide rerun stuff that I watch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mr. Harry watches the Rawhide, and so do I.
Well, good for you, boys. Aren't you just all up on your goddamn...
Will you quit being petty about this shit and just give us the turkey recipe?
Okay, Phil. You know, I'm just talking to a guy. It's just a couple of guys talking, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, you get the turkey. Here's what you do. I want you to get that 3 pounds of ground turkey. Then I want you to get some cumin. I want you to get a hold of some chili powder. I want you to get a hold of your onion and your garlic. And I want you to get so. Now, here's the thing. When you slice up your tomatoes, don't cut them up into tiny little diced up little chunks. Nothing is more, and I'm going to say this word, and I don't want anyone to think ill of me, but nothing is more pussy than cutting an onion and a tomato up into those little tiny chunks. Get big chunks of those things in there. Let that thing breathe. God Almighty, if there's one thing that an onion isn't able to do, and that's able to breathe when it's inside a chunk of the chili.
I can tell you're eating again.
Yeah, I'm having myself a Slim Jim. Big wow.
You people over there, man, for breakfast, Slim Jims, beef jerky.
We're still making breakfast, all right, and I'm starved. So now you throw that all into a pot. You boil that, excuse me, shit up.
Well, you think highly of your cooking, don't you?
At this point, I just want to get this recipe done. You boil it up, and then you serve it, and 3 pounds of chili, 3 pounds of turkey, that will make for probably about 6 or 7 bowls. If it was just me eating, it would make for 1 bowl. I'm Ted, my name is Chef Carl Chedelia. Sometimes it is Ted Bell. We're going to make a thing out of it? Huh? Anybody want to say anything about it? You, all of you out there?
No.
I'm Chef Carl Chedelia, and this is today's recipe of the day, the Chef Carl way. Go, you do, go.
This Chef Carl Chedelia recipe of the day is brought to you from Ted to Beverly Hills.
And don't forget to send away from my cookbook, Chef Carl's 15 Different Ways to Make Thanksgiving Something You'll Never Forget.
All right, Chef, thanks. A question at this particular juncture. What is this music anyway? This is Ennio Morricone from
Morricone?
No, he's the composer.
This is lovely music. This is from a film called A Pistol for Ringo.
Is that any Ringo Starr, son?
Ringo Starr.
Okay. Thank you very, very much, Chef. Turkey chili, Jack, man. I love that stuff, you know.
Do you make that, Phil?
It's still Mr. Henry to you young people, okay?
Sorry, do you make that, Mr. Henry?
I do. I make chili occasionally.
But what kind of chili do you make, Phil?
I'm going to kick somebody's ass here, okay?
The guy said call him Mr. Henry.
When do I get to call you Phil?
When you get old enough. All right, folks. We'll be right back here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We're coming back with more on last night's debate. And also the horse dung all of this horse dung that's circulating surrounding Missouri. I mean,
Tim Bass.
That's very, very ugly nose indeed.
Bass, yeah. Fuck it, man.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Nigga sleep, I ain't tripping, I'ma let him sleep. I ain't tripping, let him rest in peace. I can tell you how it happened. I can tell you about them safe house nights out in Calabasas. Maybe on that rap to pay the bill shit. And now
oh, not this
shit.
Goddamn song again, bud.
Oh, hey, that just keeps coming up in a rotation.
Nigga,
my tell you what, I got your rotation swinging.
How so,
what does that mean?
Earth, nigga.
All right, thank you very much, Drake. Appreciate that. So welcome back here to the show. Now, we had some ugly news here, and I know that we're going to get Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in to talk a little bit about it, and that's what's happening there in Missouri. It ain't funny, it ain't pretty, but it is what it is. Now, what I do know is they had the there's various incidences of racist behavior, etc. The concerned students, got together and asked the school to do something about it. I guess it didn't do anything to any great degree, and therefore they demanded the expulsion, if you will, the resignation of the president of the university, Tim Wolf. That was effectuated, if you will, on Monday, and then came sort of the backlash, as you knew it probably would.
Now, a lot of these clowns and creeps, they get their underwear in a bunch, and so they go around and try to make things worse.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I mean, the fact that it would inspire more of that activity is, it's so creepy that you can't help but think the place is just a shithole. You know what I mean?
Well, Phil, I wouldn't put it that way if I were you. I am saying...
But I was going to put it that way.
Yeah, I mean,
I would simply say that they have at that school a very high percentage of some very criminal, hateful individuals.
Well, I don't know if there's students at the school.
Well, what do you mean you're one of their students? They're walking around with masks on.
Well, what happened was there were guys walking around with bandanas across their faces shouting slurs at people. I mean, it's to the point now where even abject cowardice.
Yeah, so right there. They no good, low down, no count sack of shit.
I'll do it, General. So abject cowardice is hailed, you know, and who needs that, man? I mean, I don't think anybody needs that. So this has started to happen. As soon as the president resigns, now all these cats, you could say, well, this is a thing that has to do with speech, let's say, or it's just a minority of students. Why would you force the president to resign? Or maybe it was blown out of proportion or something, right? But the fact is, after he resigned,
it got worse. Yes, it did get worse. Truckloads of whites traveling through the university campus. I don't know what has happened to the American educational scene, but to have these clowns and clods, you know?
Well, these guys are all... Let me tell you something, because I used to deal with these guys in the Army. We get these guys in the Army. You get a bunch of these redneck yahoos that come up from the South. They say, I don't like this. I said, let me tell you what's going to happen. Either you get your ass in line, because your superior officer's black, or your sergeant is. I said, either you get your shit together, or I'll get it together for you. And the way I do it is the way those big crushing machines out at the junkyard does it. Just stick you in there, and they'll cube your ass. So,
All right. So, Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary, into that backdrop, if you will, comes Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk with us about this. Jay, a very pleasant good morning to you on this August day. How are things out where you are?
Oh, doing pretty good, Phil. This, of course, is day 5 of our roll-up, Operation Kringle. And Operation Kringle, which I'll just take a moment if I could, Phil, because it's extremely, and sorry as I'm trying to tell you, it's extremely important.
Go ahead.
Operation Kringle is an operation whereby we'll make sure that everyone's garbage, your post-Christmas garbage, your post-Thanksgiving Day garbage, what we used to call a Boxing Day or this kind of thing, make sure it's all put together and it's all, packed together neatly, and you put it into the garbage can. And
what do you mean Operation Kringle?
Yeah, so you kringle it up and you crinch it up, right? And
I thought it would be Kris Kringle.
Yeah, I thought you're talking about Kris Kringle.
Kris Kringle. I'm sorry.
You don't know what Kris Kringle is?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's the what is Kris Kringle, Phil?
Santa Claus.
All right, Phil, you have to do Santa. It is, yes, it is Santa Claus. All right.
I had no idea. I thought Kris Kringle, when you said, what is it, I thought it was, it sounded like a skin condition or something.
All right, okay. So anyway, Operation Kringle.
Operation Kringle. That, and also is going to be in concert with, yeah, making sure that anybody that is in the neighborhood during Christmas time, crawling around on top of roof, doing all this, doing all that, and everything else, make sure that they are supposed to be in the neighborhood and that they're not individuals that are crawling down a chimney, you know, like they do.
There ain't no Santa Claus. Are you afraid about a guy go down a chimney?
Hey, let me tell you something, Dickman. Sometimes guys will go down a chimney because they want to pretend like they're Santa Claus on account of what they're doing for their kid. Oh, you talk about that?
Yeah, well, how many guys are like that?
I don't know. But if a guy's going to go down chimney...
All right, Ted. Sorry, I mean, excuse me.
Ted?
It's, what's your name?
My name is Jay Santos.
Sorry, Jay. All right, we got you. I got more people coming in and out of here in the morning, man. I forget who I'm talking to. All right, let's talk about what happened on campus there. A number of things. First of all, they had got rid of this guy, this wolf. The next day came students and faculty together meeting, and journalists were on campus, and they were blocking journalists.
That's right, Phil. Apparently what they did not want were a lot of these journalists coming in and sticking it in and taking pictures with it. And I have to say, we are there to defend them. Now, we don't have a large presence in Missouri. We do have a smaller presence. The individual that we have there, and is which of course is the Missouri Assistant Police Officer Association, is a very small contingent indeed.
Well, what is that?
What is that? One of your little make believe police departments?
You know,
General, let me handle this. What is the Missouri Assistant Policemen's Association?
That's like their Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Because it sounds semi-official.
Well, I don't care how it sounds, Phil. That's what the name of the organization is. The Assistant Policemen's Association of Missouri, or whatever the hell they call it. I don't know, and I could, you know.
Well, if you don't care, I think it's important that you get the names right.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll do that, Ms. Gray. But right now, I got a lot of fish I got to fry around here. So they're out there, and they were assisting in keeping these journalists and these people sticking their cameras up someone's you-know-what. And that's all they're doing.
They mean about sticking it up to you-know-what, because that's their job.
Hey, that may be their job, but they're on a campus that, well, it's not private, it's public, but the private, the professors are also public. They're publicly employed.
Look, at what right do the students or the professors have in keeping these journalists off the campus?
They don't have the right to keep them off the campus, maybe, but they do have the right to say, I don't want my picture taken. If you say a journalist, I want my picture taken, and a journalist may take your picture, wow, you know, I mean...
big deal, man.
Yeah, maybe a big deal, Robert, to you, or, you know, you're being sarcastic, but it would be a big deal to me. Or, yeah, I'm being sarcastic. It's a big deal to them, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, so they kept the journalists. Now then came the subsequent hours and days. I think yesterday were reports that there were people rolling around on campus calling people the N-word. There was an arrest, I believe, via social media.
That is correct, Phil. A number of police agencies in Missouri and elsewhere tracked the origin of some threats. What was placed on a social media site called Yik Yak, which is used by a lot of these racism, you know, people or what you want to call it. And I'll tell you why. Because the Yik Yaks and the, well, I say Yik Yak Paddywhack, and nobody thought that was funny, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah, that's great.
Very good, Jay.
Well.
All right, and so?
All right, so the Yik Yak is a social media. And this guy come on and say, I'm going to go out, I'm going to stand on my ground and shoot every black person I see, and arrest was made.
My God, that was placed on what?
On this social media site called Yik Yak. I would say to Yik Yak's credit, they were able to locate this individual very, very quickly, very, very rapidly. And
boy, I'll tell you, it's pretty amazing how fast the police are able to just cut right through all the horseshit on social media and find out who these people are.
By me, Miss Harry.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world for your average citizen to do. For the average person to find out who is harassing them, say, online, or for the average person to find out an individual's identity who may be threatening them...
Well, look, Phil, we're not here to vet out your personal problems.
I'm not talking about my personal... This is something that happens all the time on Twitter and elsewhere. There's people getting bothered, okay? For them to find out who those individuals are, they got to go through every layer of... they got to get lawyers, they have to subpoena, and so forth. Cops, bang. Get right through it.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Phil. Police officers do have a special freedom of action, you know, that the rest of us don't have. But as a member here, it says, hold on, you know, hold on for a minute. Right now, we are monitoring the situation. If you see some slob that's standing up in a pickup truck, right away, you got a problem. If
where are you right now?
I'm in Torrance, California.
Okay, so you're nowhere near Missouri.
No, are you kidding? I'm going to go there and fly there. They got the assistant policeman of the Missouri.
Yes, yes, we know all about that. I want to know again, as we've had this discussion, what is your official enforcement capacity?
In this case, we're not doing any official enforcing. What we're trying to do is just assist a police officer. Okay?
Yes, sir. God.
Yeah. And in this case, what we're seeing is, if you see guys standing up in the bed of a pickup truck waving a flag, any guy with a baseball cap, wearing work boots, skin-tight jeans, claiming he's straight, but obviously looking the other way. Dudes that...
All right, Jay. You want to start in on your stereotyping people, okay?
Well, wait a minute. You're not born with tight jeans on. You got to put those on, my friend. You got to put those on. If you're a redneck and you're out there with a Confederate flag and you got on jeans that are sprayed on, friend, you put those on. No one forced you into those. And you're making a statement, not just to women, but to men. And you're standing up in a pickup truck and you're waving a Confederate flag, right away, members of Citizens Auxiliary Police are going to say, hey, you, boy, get down out of that truck.
You know what? I would love to be there the day you say that to somebody.
You would, huh? Well, I tell you what, why don't you come out cruising with me today? Because I'll be out looking. We'll be hunting for bear a day.
You're going to be what?
We'll be hunting for bear a day.
Are you going? I don't understand what he said either. Are you going to be?
Going to be hunting for bear today.
All right. Are you going to be in California doing that?
Well, yeah. It's like I said, this is where I live. How about anybody else?
All right, Jay. So you're going to be targeting any guy standing up in a pickup truck with a Confederate flag with a spray-on jeans and the work boots.
That's exactly right. Try to tell me that I can't. And any of these guys that are bothering individuals, any of these individuals who I can tell you are using this kind of dirty four-letter, whatever they call it, calling a guy, dark and everything, they'll be reported to police.
Well, you're talking about a speech issue.
What's it with you anyway, Phil?
You're talking about a speech issue, which is if you're talking about hate speech, you're talking about words that are going to obviously provoke some kind of violence. I understand that. But that's what's going on there. And thank you, Jay. And I hope that you guys in the Missouri Assistant Policemen's Association...
That's them. That ain't me.
Yeah, well, I hope you guys don't cause bigger problems, okay?
Whatever.
Jay Santos.
What are you all upset about?
I'm upset because this guy has got some... Well, I'm upset the same reason why you're upset. You know, there's a guy who's going to go out and he's going to make stuff worse.
Well, I think that Jay's heart is in the right place. He's going to have a problem if he's going to arrest every yokel with spray-on jeans and work boots and waving the Confederate flag. He'll take the entire state of Missouri into custody.
Yeah, very nice. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and you're coming right back, Bob. Woo! World-famous Phil Henry Show to El Pacifico in Southern California. Yeah! Right back, man. Hey, how come they don't mention the guy's name, though?
I don't know. What do you mean?
On this guy, this campus campus police, is that what it says?
Well, it says here the suspect arrested over social media threats at the University of Missouri.
Right, right. Campus police have arrested a suspect allegedly posting racial threats to the University of Missouri campus social media. But and it says the suspect is in police custody and was not located at or near the campus at the time of the threat. So... probably some dumbass sitting in his basement, right?
Well, that's, yes, exactly right. It's some, as you said, some dumbass.
Guy's gonna sit there in a basement making all them threats.
Yeah, well, you'll do that from anywhere.
Well,
you can do it from anywhere, bud. Come on. Someone using the anonymous social media app Yik Yak wrote they would shoot every black person they see Wednesday. Others tweeting from the university's campus said people used racial epithets, etc. The chancellor of the University of Missouri was on Twitter, said that the suspect had used multiple accounts to threaten students. He was never physically near the campus, according to the chancellor. Shortly after the arrest was announced, Lofkin tweeted the class would continue as usual. What's the guy's name?
Well, I don't think they've announced that.
Why are they not announcing these names? Names are good. Names are important. Name, 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 name.
Jesus, Phil, you want to out everybody, don't you?
I think if you got the guts to say something like that, then you better have the guts to use your name. That's as simple as that. I don't give a shit what you think you're.
No, you don't understand, Phil, that not everyone is able to hold on to a job.
Let me ask you something. If you hold opinions that are so odious that you're going to get fired from your job, don't you think your boss ought to know that you have these opinions?
Why?
Because you're going to be out there representing yourself, and oh yeah, aren't you the guy that works at XYZ company?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I won't be working there anymore, or shopping there anymore.
What do you mean working there?
Shopping, okay?
What do you mean shopping?
I won't be a customer.
Oh, yeah.
So if a guy is running around saying this, that, and something else, and...
Well, that's why they want to stay anonymous, Phil.
I know they want to stay anonymous, but let me put it to you a different way. Here's this guy, and he's saying all this stuff. Okay, he gets arrested, let's say. Or something else happens, gets into a fight. Or joins an organization. Let's say he joins an organization, and someone sees him and says, oh, aren't you the guy I saw at that store? You know, what do you mean? Don't you work for XYZ? I don't know. And the next thing you know, it gets back to the employer that it could be that one of your employees is out there doing this shit and that shit. And nobody outed him. Nobody said what his name was. It just so happens this guy was out there and somehow got connected back to his place of employment. Now the boss, the company, whoever, they've been publicly embarrassed by this guy's activities. And of course they have to fire the guy. Why wouldn't you?
Well, that right there. Why would you fire a man for the freedom of speech?
Get right there, General. Thank you very much for articulating what I've always wanted to know.
Well, you're some kind of an idiot. Not you, General, but are you an idiot? I can't call a general an idiot, but are you an idiot?
No.
Neither am I. I didn't say you were.
Wait. The freedom of speech. Yeah, you got freedom of speech. Freedom of speech means you don't go to jail.
Yes. You've always said that, Phil. But let's face it, freedom of speech in America means you can say anything you want, and it will not negatively impact your life.
Oh, that's horse dung.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, it's horse dung, is it?
Of course it's going to affect your life. You're going to say something that is odious, as you said, and is bad, and is, bad. I don't know.
You're going to say stuff, General. It's going to redound negatively on you, whether you like it or not. It's the human condition. It's the way we are. So I'm out there, and I'm Phil Hendry, and I'm blah, 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 and I'm saying a bunch of shit. And someone says, aren't you the guy, aren't you the Phil Hendry that works over there at Harry's department store? And maybe I say no. Maybe I just deny it. You know?
Phil, did you choke there? Maybe I say no.
Something was caught in my throat.
You want some water?
No, I don't want any water. Will you? Let's listen to me here for a second, will you? For God's sake. So, what is this?
You gotta take a break.
We already took a break.
Oh.
All right, if you guys don't want me to...
Go ahead, Jesus.
So I'm just saying, if you say something and then they find out where you work, your boss is embarrassed, this, that, and something else, okay? It's always going to get back to your life. Everything you do, everything you say in this world is connected to you. It should be. And everything you say and you do in this world is going to be connected back to the people that you know and your universe. Now, if your employer finds out that you're doing this shit or you're working in this particular arena or you're saying these kinds of things, and it embarrasses the company, the guy's got every right in the world to fire you because he doesn't want the image of his company, he's trying to do business with the public, tarnished. So you lose your job. And I just think that if that is the reality, and that is the reality, you might as well sign your name to the things that you say. Get it out there up front, okay? Go to your boss and say, I have to tell you, I work for a certain company or I work for a certain organization. I believe certain things. This could lead to embarrassing the company. Have the decency, I think, to connect yourself to your beliefs, connect yourself to your life. I just think that it's gutless.
Yeah, but this is spying.
What about the idea of the police state, that everybody is watching everyone?
I think, this is not 1984 we're talking about. We're talking about not a government that's going to throw you into prison. You don't go to prison for these. I'm talking about losing jobs. I'm talking about the private sector reacting. There ain't nothing in the Constitution or anything in a whole Bill of Rights thing.
Are you going to be doing a whole speech on this afternoon? Will there be...
Never mind, okay?
You know when I step right up...
Well, Phil, it is getting a little tired. All right, we'll be back. I'm going to be singing a song. I'm Margaret Gray. As you know, I had promised a lot of you that I would be singing some songs here in the forthcoming mornings. And it was something that we didn't really follow up on, and I would like to do that for you. Just a little something to sort of let your day... Oh, I don't know. Let your day start off in a beautiful way. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey! It's me.
Well, famous Phil Every Show, PhilEveryShow.com. We'll be right back. All right, y'all. Who's this? Oh, yeah, this is our good friend Snoop Dogg, and he's just singing about being young and smoking big, fat blunts. All right. That's how it's supposed to be. Don't forget, the Milwaukee Lions are offering on our website, the Lions, which is a premium, this is a premium material only, are a weekly football game that is broadcast over Wang Radio and provided to you on the Phil Henry Show website. Play-by-play by Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. The Lions play a full 16-game season. They are right now in the midst of it. I think this is week 9 is coming up, right?
Yes. I think this was week 9 just passed.
Yeah, week 9 just passed. And we talked to Jack and Brett Morrison yesterday. And to listen to Milwaukee Lions, to hear Lions Line hosted by Jack
That guy ought to be ashamed of himself for allowing himself to be born into a family. I mean, when you're in the astral plane, you can pick your own family, can't you?
Anyway. Yeah. Okay, so, Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison, you can get the play-by-play. And all that at PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com. And it's all for the price of a backstage pass. And remember, all this month, we got a swag bag we're giving away. We're giving away our digital downloads. Jack, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I'm not mistaken, Margaret, you have...
Yes, I want to sing a song here just to kind of get everybody on the same page this morning. Talking about all of this racist stuff and all of this old school hacky kind of stuff, I don't like it. Let's sing a song that brings us all together, okay?
All right, let's do that, and let's go ahead, first of all, Bud, and pot down all that loud, cacophonous garbage that you were just playing there, okay?
Mississippi. Here we all work while the white folk play.
What are you doing?
What are you talking about?
Old Man River?
Well, I thought...
Old Man River.
You're trying to bring the races together, and you're...
I'm singing a very... hold on for a minute. And don't look down. You don't dast make the white folk...
All right, thank you very much.
You want me to pick something else?
Yeah, that would be nice. Old Man River.
Man, that song's pretty good, though.
Yeah, that's real good, man.
Phil, this is a traditional song about pulling that rope until you're tired. Pulling that rope until you're dead. A song of...
I don't know, Margaret. It's,
Old Man River, that Old Man River. He don't say nothing, but he must know something, that Old Man River. He just keeps rolling along in the state of Missouri.
All right, thank you very much, Margaret Gray, with Old Man River. Always a classic, always a favorite, always a piece of shit that we like to bring back from time to time, because I don't know why, it just is.
God damn, man!
All right, folks, on the line with us now is very, very close personal friends, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, and they are at the State House there in West Virginia. And, of course, as our correspondents, if you will, from the liberal side of things, these cats are always, you know, they're always a very interesting couple of dudes to talk to. These guys are state legislators in West Virginia. You guys saw the debate last night. Kurt, how did it look?
Oh, I thought the debate last night, Phil, was good. I thought I always love looking at them Republican boys making all them promises they can't keep.
What do you mean promises they can't keep?
Oh, talk about building a wall. Give me a break, Phil. The only wall Donald Trump gonna build, he's gonna build another wall on maybe on his estate there in Long Island or something. build another wall to keep all the neighborhood kids out on trick-or-treating night, you know, but that man is going to build a wall. First of all, that man got to find a way to pay for that wall. He's going to have to go to the Congress of the United States and say, I need a couple of billion dollars to build that wall.
You think that's going to take a couple of billion? Or you got to be nuts or something.
No, I don't think it costs that much.
Let me tell you something.
What, how much do you think that wall would cost?
Let a good guy in here, because he knows.
Oh, so you don't know, huh?
I know, but guy's got a better handle on one.
That wall is going to be in billions of dollars, not going to be millions of dollars. You're talking about a wall that extends along the border of the United States of America. Now, some of that border in Texas, some of New Mexico, Arizona, and California, you're going to have a problem getting a wall built in California because the California is liberal.
California can be as liberal as it wants. But you put that wall up in Arizona and New Mexico and whatever part of Texas is Texas. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they border on Mexico, don't they?
That's all on water.
There's parts of Texas that borders. It's not all on water. So, all right, so what about the rest of them?
I would say the rest of them is going to be a slam dunk. I don't think they'd have a problem with that. But still, nobody is going to kick in state money on this thing. This is all going to come from the federal coffers. Donald Trump is going to put America further in a hole building his wall, and then Donald Trump going to put America further in a hole deporting all these 5 to 10 million people, these immigrants, illegal immigrants, so on, so forth, and so on, which got. And guess what's going to happen? Next thing you know, lickety-split, Donald Trump going to have us further in a hole before he raid Nickel One. Now, I'd like to turn over to Kirk.
This is what we're talking about. I love hearing all them Republican boys making all them promises they ain't going to be able to keep and talking at the same time they're going to cut taxes. You know, let me tell you what, you cut taxes and you still have all these services you got to pay for. My man, you just get deeper and deeper into the hole on a lot of this stuff.
I heard Ted Cruz say that he would eliminate, what was it, General?
Ted Cruz said he would eliminate $500 billion of expenses and costs and so forth.
Oh, yeah, sure he is. Yeah, Ted Cruz going to do that just as soon as he make a pig fly out of his ass, you know?
God damn!
Well, I'll tell you right now, Dickman, that's exactly going to happen because he has to convince the Congress of the United States of America.
Well, what if he has a Republican Congress or a conservative Congress to work with?
Ted Cruz, you can have Republican Congress. Those people got to go back to their constituents and sell that bullshit, you know?
Now, watch it.
Not to piss me off.
Now, hold on. I think what Kurt's saying, he's got to go back. He's got to sell that to all them assholes that he shouldn't say asshole.
Well, we know what you think of your constituents, don't we?
My constituents are very intelligent, General. Thank you. I'm talking about the dumbass Republicans.
Let's just be respectful, okay?
All right, so he got to go back and he's got to sell it to all those fine, intelligent people that he represents, okay? Those people are not going to want all them program cut. Even Publican don't want that, because you'd be very surprised. And Kurt, isn't this true, all the Publican?
Yeah, a lot of Publican, they love them some public program. A lot of Publican love that Medicare. A lot of the Publican like that. So you ain't going to just slam dunk a lot of that stuff past them, because they're going to be all pissed off about that.
Dad, what do you think? How's he going to save the money, then?
Well, who is that, anyway?
That's Bud Dickman.
It's Bud.
All right, Bud, how he's going to save the money, I have no idea. How he's going to pay for that wall, I have no idea. And that's the one area that Donald Trump ain't going to talk about.
Yeah, let me have the phone for a minute. Why don't you go over and get us some coolers or some man, cool off, all right?
God damn it.
Oh, cool off. He'd all flipped out, Phil.
What's wrong with him?
He just flipped off about this damn Publican thing. But
what do you mean the public? You mean the debate?
Yeah, the debate. So what I'm saying, and I think what we're all saying, Phil, and I think we're all on board on this one, is that they have to find a way to pay for that wall that Donald Trump want to put up. You want to put up a wall? Fine. He said that wall working fine in Israel. Maybe it is. He said that wall was working fine. I bet you the Berlin Wall working fine.
Well, it's not the same thing. You know, one wall was built to keep people in. Another wall is built to keep people out. Walls are walls. They're inanimate objects. They're not inherently evil. They do things that you want them to do. And in this case, it's one that would keep people out.
Yeah, keep people out of the American dream. Keeping people out of the American the American paradise. Keeping people out of the great.
Let me have that. Here's a cooler.
What's this?
That's a chocolate eclair. Got the cream in the middle.
Ah, yeah.
Let me tell you something, Phil. This country was not founded so that we could keep all it to ourselves. This country founded so we'd be an example to the world.
you know.
We can't be an example to the world unless we've got our own act pretty tight here, my friend. And the first thing we got to do is Donald Trump said it so very vigorously and clearly did say.
Oh, man, when you cats quote Trump, I think I'm going to flip.
All right, everybody calm down. What? You know something? What's wrong with you, Queenie? You guys have been in the backwoods of West Virginia too long.
Yeah, right there. I knew you'd say that. I knew you got such a simple mind, you simple-minded...
All right, guys, you're not proving any point here. Let me just break this down. The general here is talking about how America needs to pull it in and get it together before we can start spreading any philosophy. And over here is Representative Queenie, who has a different view, which I am sympathetic to, that America needs to be an example of the world of how to be a democratic society. And that's nothing that we keep to ourselves necessarily, okay?
Yeah, right. So putting up a wall, you know.
What's that got to do with keeping illegal immigrants out?
All right, hold on. The only thing that I would say is like what they said last night is getting all those 5 million folks out of here. How do you 5 to 11 million people out? How do you do that? You know.
Yeah, give me the phone.
I've got that eclair.
Give me the phone. Phil, I want to comment on that.
Yes, and then I'll follow up.
Yeah, you do that.
And then I'd like to follow up.
Yeah, then I've got a couple of follow up questions.
All right, forget it then, man.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say that. Now I forgot what I was gonna say.
Let me say something, please, Phil. I think that we do have a problem insofar as organizing some kind of deportation of these individuals. Donald Trump says they have to leave. I understand they have to leave. He said that Eisenhower did it. If you look into Operation Wetback... shut your mouth.
Bud, what is Operation Wetback?
I heard about this.
Operation Wetback is what Donald Trump was referring to last night. And this is when there was a roundup of illegals who were sent back. Now, this was a very flawed operation. There were enormous complaints about civil liberties being violated. And not only that, this was in concert with a Mexican government that was willing to cooperate. You won't have it this time.
Well, you know, that's exactly true. Let me tell you something else about Operation Wetback. And that simple-minded butter that Trump saying that Ike is a nice guy and everybody thought he was a nice guy, that got to do with anything, man. The Bracero program was something that was promoted by the United States because America needed workers in World War II, and they welcomed in Bracero workers from Mexico, World War II, to help us with our wartime industry. Now you got a lot of people here. A lot of people got welcomed in. They had babies. All right, you understand? And you have created a culture whereby there's a transnational feeling that people could come into America and help America.
No, tell me this again. This is,
Yeah, I got it. I want to talk about it.
I got it. Here, go have yourself another donut. Rosie's here.
Oh, yeah,
baby. This Operation Wetback, as Phil was saying, that was in the 50s, but in the 40s, in the 50s...
What the hell are you guys talking about?
All right, I'll do it, okay?
No, I want to do it.
Hold on. Why don't you guys look it up?
Phil, you can't say that.
All right, I'll just say this. That operation, it was not operation, it was the Bracero program in World War II was an effort by the United States and Mexico to bring to the United States workers from Mexico to help us with our wartime industry. So we were welcoming, we wanted, and the Mexican government cooperated with us as we brought in these workers to help man the barricades. America was in a state of confusion and almost chaos in the distribution of food and in the organizing of our industries. And so the Mexican worker helped us organize and helped us, avoid chaos in World War II. The Braceros were here, and that has promoted that transnational feeling.
So you're just going to go ahead and give a speech and propagandize this thing? I resent that immensely, Phil.
You wanted me to tell you what it was, didn't you?
I'm very grateful you did, Phil.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you're propagandizing it.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, what he said.
World famous Phil Henry Schmaler. Well, I ain't gonna do it now.
Hey, y'all, I'm on here. The world famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. I'm Kurt Queedy. Kiss my ass.
Wow, sorry, folks. See you tomorrow.